is played for all to see. You are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sins. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are truth, you are truth. Even in my you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you death is lost its sting. I run into your arms, I run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord. All creation will proclaim, you are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I run into your arms, I run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name.
Hallelujah. Nothing compares to him. Nothing compares to his presence. Nothing compares to his majesty and glory and honor, which are all to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just a simple verse in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light. It's a simple scripture, but God is a God that looks upon nothing and makes something out of nothing.
All right.
The enemy may be whispering in your ear and say, you're not going to amount to anything. This situation is going to be nothing to you. But when God begins to hover over your situation, when you begin to pray and cry out to Him, right before He begins to speak, He is there the whole time. And He is standing and He is watching over you. He is watching over this church. He is watching over what is going to happen today in Jesus' name. There is an anticipation. There's an expectation that is taking place. And God has been watching intently over us over all these years. In the 1970s, there wasn't a church here before the 1970s, but God began to hover over Sandwich, and then He began to speak, and He said, let there be a church in Sandwich, Illinois. But God isn't done yet. In 2018, we started this in 2017 of taking it to the streets. Let the spirit that is being poured out inside these four walls be poured out into the streets of Sandwich. Let it be poured out to the surrounding communities. Let the neighbors experience and see what God is doing in the midst of these four walls in Jesus' name. Let's begin to praise God with expectation and anticipation today that God is going to do, because He is hovering and He is going to speak in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Overwhelmed, and I cannot hear your voice. I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that You've done, and the life I have because You have come. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am forever Yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am Yours, I am forever Yours. When my heart is filled with hope, and every promise comes my way, when I feel Your hand's embrace rest upon me, staying desperate for You, God, staying humble at Your feet, I will lift these hands in praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that You've done, and the life I have because You have come. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am Yours. I am forever Yours. Mountains high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am Yours, I am forever Yours, I am Yours, I am Yours, all my days, Jesus, I am Yours, I am Yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am Yours. I am forever Yours.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God,
hallelujah.
So
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Wrap me in your arms.
I'm saved. I am saved. I'm saved in your arms. I'm saved. I am saved. I'm saved.
Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. 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 Wrap me in your arms.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the safety that we feel in your house and in your presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless this offering, every faithful giver and the ones given by faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is how we overcome. we overcome. Oh, this is how we overcome. 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 This is how you have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. This is how we overcome. That's why I come to church. That's why I read the word. That's why I pray. That's why I sing. That's why I lift my hands. I lift my voice. It's how I overcome. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. I won't turn back now. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I can't say it big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say it loud enough, I can't say it strong enough. I can't say it big enough, Lord, you're worthy. I can't say it loud enough, I can't say it strong enough. I can't say it big enough, Lord, you're worthy. Can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we applaud the Lord for His goodness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can do so, you may be seated. A few weeks now we've been praying for the brother of Sister Day's brother-in-law, Tom Lucas, and she has a praise report that she would like to give to church this morning, so I'm going to walk the mic down to her and let her stand, and she's going to tell you the details.
3 weeks ago today, Brother Lucas's brother, Tom, was riding in a motorcycle benefit run, and he and another rider were hit. And He ended, I don't know about the other man, but Tom ended up in ICU with many multiple injuries. He was not wearing a helmet, and they knew he had brain bleeding on the brain. There was brain damage, you know, different bones broken all over his body. That was 3 weeks ago today. Down through the 3 weeks, Brother and Sister Lucas have been giving us updates. You know, some of them were very negative. Some, you know, there's a glimmer of hope here and there. This past Thursday, his wife was faced with the decision of, she had made the decision that she would probably move him into long-term care because he'd been in ICU 3 weeks. He had no responses. They did all kinds of nerve tests. He did not respond to anything. He had never woken up. They'd taken him off of all sedation. They had taken him off of all medication. And he was just non-responsive. They really gave her no hope. Up till that point, she had decided she was going to put him in long-term care. Well, that day, this past Thursday, they said there is absolutely no nerve in his body that is normal. There is nothing going on there. The very next day, God happened. God stepped in. She had made the decision, okay, I know my husband would not want to live like this. So she was faced with the decision of more or less pulling the plug. The very next day, and along this time, I have to say that my nephew Tim and his wife, other ministers from there in, I believe it's in Cleveland, had gone in, had several different sessions of prayer. The very first night that he was in the ICU, his wife Nancy prayed back through to an experience in the Holy Ghost. So she had that experience that has kept her through these 3 weeks of long days and long nights in that ICU. The other, Nancy's children, Tom's stepchildren, were there to witness that. And Friday, they decided to do one more MRI before they gave the final verdict. One more MRI. Before they could even do the MRI, they noticed Tom had his eyes open. One eye could follow them around the room. He opened and closed his eyes on command. He responded to people in the room. Now remember, he was supposed to not have any nerve that was working. And so these other things just kept happening through the day. The stepson, Tom's stepson, had messaged, of course, the Lucases in Tokyo during all this, and he said, we feel this is a wake-up call for our family. And God, Brother Lucas told him, you know what your grandfather taught and preached. You know, Rick's dad was a pastor there in Cleveland. Tom grew up in the Pentecostal faith. So he has been away from God for years, and so has Nancy, his wife. But through this experience, the whole family is responding to the word, to God's spirit that has worked with them, and every day there is more hope for this man. He is opening, like I said, opening and closing his eyes on command. Both eyes now are following people around the room. He is coming alive again. Yes, it's not an instantaneous miracle, but it is a miracle. And it is a wonderful thing that God has done in this family. Not only physical healing for this man that was considered dead and next to having every life support. He's not even on, I don't believe he's even on life support anymore. He is on some type of help. With machines. I'm just not sure. I can't remember all the details. But they know. The doctors are totally amazed out of their minds. They said they have nothing to say, but this is a miracle. God has stepped in here. And so please continue to pray for that family, that the Lord will continue to work with them, draw them back to him, and heal this man completely so that he can be a testimony to God's power. In Jesus, and thank you for praying.
Why don't you stand? We're going to do that right now. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for Lucas family, all those attached to this situation, certainly Tom Lucas and his continued recovery. Another thing I'd like for us to pray concerning is, many of you know, all those that were affected up on the Carolina coast by Hurricane Florence. And I want to be careful in this, but, you know, I'm viewing things on social media and people that are, you know, pointing out the media and how they're making, you know, such a big deal about it. And, the guy's bracing himself against the wind, and then there's guys casually walking behind him. And then there's, you know, reporters in waist-high water, and the cameraman just 10 feet away is in ankle-deep water. And I realize all that, and I know those things happen. And, you know, people post the funny stuff with things being thrown at them, acting like it's a big storm. But I know all the, you know, hyperbole that goes into that. But there are some people who are devastated. There are some people who have lost pretty much everything. There are those people who will be without power for days on end. It is a crisis. It is a catastrophe. And I don't want to make light of it just because maybe it wasn't as major as they thought it was going to be. The fact of the matter is it's still major to those it has affected. And those lives that have been changed by what has happened and taken place along there. I know many of our churches are responding with help and need and supplies and food and water and that sort of stuff. But I want us to pray for those that were affected by Hurricane Florence and all those up and down the coastline. And let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. You're so good, God. We ask you, Lord, to work, to intervene, God, to help those that are helping, God. I realize there are many who have lost many things, God, material things, and those things can be replaced, God. I realize there's also been loss of life, God. Lord, tragedy has struck for those that have experienced and are experiencing the aftermath, Lord, and I pray that you would be a comfort, be a help, God. Let the church rise up, God. Be an aid, God. Be a help, God. Keep your hand upon all the emergency workers, all the linemen, God, that will be there restoring power, trying to get lives back to some semblance of normalcy. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Continue to work in Tom Lucas and the family, God. They're attached to that situation, God. Ultimately, God, a healing of the mind, God, a healing of the soul, God. And yes, a healing of the body. Lord, we trust in you. We love you. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, and your truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated one more time. Do want to make you aware of announcements. I hope that you are aware that this afternoon, beginning at 4 o'clock, is a pretty big event for this church, taking it to the streets. It's been a lot of work, help, effort. Thank you to all the men who showed up yesterday to help us in preparing the parking lot and cleaning up around here. A lot was done. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to make that happen and to help us in that. Everybody else who's been going throughout the community, posting flyers, making phone calls, talking to businesses. A very big special thank you to Sister Davis and all her hard work, everything that she's put into it. We need you here at 3 p.m. The thing starts at 4 p.m., but we need you here at 3 p.m. because we need to set up. We need to get tables and chairs and everything that goes into pulling an event like this off. I notice the barricades are out there ready to be set. Well, that's a good thing. And we're excited. We're looking forward to what God is going to do here this afternoon. Just please be in prayer concerning this throughout this afternoon. Please show up at 3 o'clock to help us as we set up and get things ready. And just looking forward to a great time together. Other announcements, next weekend, having a children's revival Saturday night and Sunday morning. Looking forward to that. They're going to be taking the 11 a.m. portion of the Sunday morning service, and we're going to be specifically ministering to kids. A great time on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning, have a regular Sunday school at 10 a.m., but then the children's revival, if you will, at 11 o'clock. And so we will not be having a p.m. activity here next Sunday, the 23rd. There will be no p.m. activity here. We're going to focus our efforts on Saturday night and Sunday morning. So there will not be a p.m. activity here on the 23rd. And then the following Sunday is a Faith and Family Night, a fifth Sunday. And so we're inviting everybody out to our place. And we're just going to have a good time together there at our house. And just looking forward to that as well. We'll follow up with more details concerning that. Other events taking place, things that are going on and happening throughout this church. And so please be reminded to check out Breeze, to look at the calendar, the announcements as they're scrolling on the screen between services and all that good stuff. Now, if you would be so kind to stand to your feet. So thank you to those who reach out to the missionaries who were here on Wednesday night and had a chance to go and have a bite to eat with them after service. And they acknowledge all the generosity that came from this church and people that just came up to them and supported them. And so I thank you for that. And it makes me proud as a pastor to know that you're doing that. And I told them that I have made it known to the congregation that if God leads you to do that, you don't need my permission to do that. You can go and give and support, and we certainly encourage that. And just had a great time together on Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, Mark chapter number 9. I believe it was last Sunday night, and talking about taking it to the streets, I made mention of a few things that I will talk about here in a message this morning. And I hope that no one is offended that we have extended the opportunity and the invitation for other people to pray, other pastors, other community leaders to pray during our taking it to the streets portion. As I said on Sunday night, I realized that they will not pray as we pray. They will not say things that we say. But I want us to, and I hope, especially after the message this morning, I hope that we would see it in a different light and understand it in a different way. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 40. And he, being Jesus, came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." John answered him. Now I want you to pay particular attention to what John has to say. John answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him." Saw this cat out there casting out devils in your name. We put a stop to it. We told him to stop. We forbade him from doing it. For there is, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. John said, we saw this guy. He was casting out demons. Thy name. He followed not us. He wasn't a part of our group. So we forbade him. We told him to stop. But Jesus said, "Forbid him not." Don't stop him. It's going to get tight in here for a little bit. Jesus said, don't stop this man. I don't know if you think you're protecting me, John. I don't know if you think you're fighting for my right, not allow people to do things in my name or whatever. Forbid him not. Don't stop this man. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. This guy's doing miracles in my name. It's not because he can speak lightly of me. It's not because he doesn't. Not because he doesn't know me. Pay particular attention to this last line. For he that is not against us is on our part. Can I put it to you this way? John, you think he's against us, but he's for us. You don't agree with everything he's doing and the way he's doing it, but you need to understand he's on our side. Some of y'all, this is going to be amazing. Not because I'm preaching it, because it's something that's been resonating in your spirit for a while. And for some of you, you're going to have to get over some of your ideologies. I might make some of you a little bit upset, but we need to understand there are people outside of these walls who do not believe like we believe, who do not understand everything we understand, who do not know what we know. But that does not mean they are against us. Lord, help us. Lord, let your words speak, God. Let it not be my words. Let it be your words that speak to the heart and the mind of every individual in this place, that we would understand what we're doing here as a church, as a collective body, God, to, yes, to establish some sides and to establish some lines, Lord. And that we would see that those that we so often, God, would castigate as enemies, Lord, that we would understand that they are truly on our side, that they are fighting alongside of us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Three small words. I would like to be the focus of the message this morning. It is simply this. On our side. There is a battle. There is a war taking place. It is good versus evil. It is light versus darkness. It is righteousness versus unrighteousness. Whatever you want to label it, however you want to define the conflict that exists, there is the understanding that there are two sides. There are those that are with us, and there are those that are against us. Those that are with us, we could call them allies. And those who are against us, we can call them enemies. What about you? I have, since a young age, and maybe it was something that my dad instilled in me, I have always been fascinated with war. Maybe it's a young boy thing. I don't really know. It's like cowboys and Indians, and you know all the different stuff that goes into the good guys versus the bad guys, and the heroes and versus the villains. And so, throughout my life, I have studied many things, and I've read many books in relation to war. One of the things that fascinates me, partly because I did have some family, and it was one of those wars that, as we think of it, World War II was. They say the war to end all wars. We know that the end result, if you will, and what happened as a result of the Allied forces coming together to stop the spread of the Nazis. For those that had family, for those that were able to firsthand, if you will, experience some of the atrocities and some of the things that took place. I was not alive, obviously, but I can research history. I can go back and I can look at different things. If you've never had the opportunity to go to the 1st Division Museum at Cantini Park, you need to go. It's a great museum. It's a great display of what happened and what took place. And it doesn't really even scratch the surface. As wonderful it is and as great as it is in bringing out what had to happen as the Allied forces came together to stop the spread and the threat of absolute evil. Begin to think about it. I begin to maybe parallel it a little bit. How that all these allies were different in many ways. Different countries, different anthems. Some had presidents, some had queens, some had kings, monarchs. But all of these allies, they didn't talk the same. They had different languages. There was barriers of communication. There were all these things that they had to navigate together in order to fight for the side of right. In order for them to be able to unite their forces. Stay with me. Allies, but different in many ways. Coming together for a common purpose. Pay particular attention to this next statement because it's monumental in understanding what I'm trying to get through to us in the message this morning. Not one of those armies could have defeated the Nazis on their own. The forces of evil had become so strong and were sweeping so fast. The only way that there was going to be the turning of the tide was for them to ally together, for them to come together and put away some differences and understand, hey, we're all fighting for a great cause. I knew it was going to be tight in here this morning. When it comes to fighting the forces of evil, when it comes to turning the forces that are against us, it has to be more than just the oneness Pentecostals against the world. Please understand me. I do not back up from our doctrine. I do not in any way, shape, or form say that we compromise or we concede our beliefs. But what we do need to understand is there are some God-fearing and God-loving people who are outside these walls who do not understand what we understand. They do not know what we know. They do not even pray like we pray. But they are on our side. Now, make no mistake, I believe we have the best of the best. We are the Navy SEALs, if you will, of warfare when it comes to fighting against the enemy. I believe that with all of my heart. We don't have it all right, but I guarantee you when it comes to the grand scope of things, when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to our beliefs, when it comes to what we hold, we are... Or a frog that won't croak for his own pond. I believe we are the best of the best. I don't say that condescendingly. I don't say that in a way to ridicule any other and what they believe or what they've come to know thus far. But I believe I am an apostolic Pentecostal, not because mommy and daddy were an apostolic Pentecostal, because I've read the book and I've spent some time in study. And I've come to understand that what we hold to, it ain't all right, but it most closely aligns to the Word of God. But I'm going to say this again. Make no mistake, God has no affinity for our affiliation. You think God is pro-UPCI because we are a United Pentecostal Church International Organization. You don't understand the book. I believe in this organization. I do not say anything against this organization. I am licensed with this organization. I love this organization and what it teaches and what it believes. But I understand he's not coming back for United Pentecostal Church International. He's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. He's coming back for a people. I think some of y'all are going to take some convincing, so it may be a little while. I believe we are the best of the best. But But I also believe that there are some elite warriors of faith who are fighting to the best of their ability and to the best of the... I believe that there are prayer warriors in other denominations. I believe that there are people who operate in the gifts in other denominations. I believe that... I'm sorry, we don't have a corner on the market of the Spirit. Turn to Numbers chapter number 11. A little backdrop to what I'm about to read. God tells Moses, I'm about to take of your spirit and I'm about to give it unto others to help you in ministry, to help you in judgment. I want you to go, I want you to gather the 70 elders of Israel and bring them to the tabernacle. There I'm going to take from my spirit, or from your spirit rather, and I'm going to put it upon them. I'm going to take what I have given you, and I'm going to put it on these 7 elders of Israel. So they're going to be able to minister with you. They're going to be able to operate with you. They're going to help you in all the duties and everything that you need to do in leading my people. You need help, Moses, and I'm going to provide you help. I'll take of your spirit, I'm going to put it upon the 70 elders. They gather together in verse 27, Numbers chapter number 11. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. They're supposed to be here. They were named with the elders. They're out in the camp and they're prophesying. They're supposed to be here in the tabernacle, Moses. Forbid them. Set them straight, Mo. Get them. They're not doing everything they're supposed to be doing. But the Bible's always amazes me because it seems to bring out names when names need to be brought out. And the young man just doesn't come and say, hey, Moses, there's 2 men out in the camp. He specifically names them. Do you notice something similar about their names? We would pronounce it Dad, D-A-D. Eldad and Medad. But the Hebrews pronounce Dod. You know what Dod means? Love. 2 men of love are outside the tabernacle and they're ministering and they're prophesying. And this young man came, hey Moses, there's guys out in the camp and they're prophesying. Joshua steps up. Hey, beat them. Keep them from doing that. Joshua, what you don't understand, bud, is love knows no bounds. You need to understand something, Joshua. You need to get this concept. Eldad and Medad, they're both of their names are attributed to love. And you need to understand. Oh my God. If we could ever wrap our brain around the concept that love will not be constrained by our walls. And love will not be constrained. Moses said unto Joshua, look at what Moses said. Enviest thou for my sake? You want me to stop them for my sake? You think they're somehow doing something against me? Look at what he said. Would God that all Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. I wish that they were all out there in the camp prophesying. I wish that every single one of them could get a hold of this. But I'm not going to stop them just because they're not doing everything I think they should be doing. They're ministering in love. Listen, you need to understand. There's a lot of people outside these walls who don't understand what we understand, don't do what we do, don't live how we live. But they operate in love, and they are reaching for people. And you need to know that love is the greatest of all. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And when they operate in love, you and I better be careful.
Because God uses who he will as he will. He don't have to answer to me. God can do and use whoever he wants. But don't think ourselves anything special if God uses us because he made a donkey talk. You think about what Moses says. Hey, Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Are you envious because of me? You think it's going to have it somehow detracts from me and what God is using me to do? Listen, you need to understand, when God uses people who are not of our faith and are not of our persuasion, he doesn't have to answer for that. And if you think it's some kind of mark against you, or if you think because there's a church that doesn't preach how we preach and live how we live, and they're finding blessing and God's doing miracles in their midst and things are happening, careful how you speak about that. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, good, let's go to New Testament. Acts chapter number 18, verses 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. Born in Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Maybe he's a missionary. Maybe he felt the call of God to go to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Check out this next two words. Knowing only. He only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know anything else. He was fervent. And he was diligent, and he was doing all that he knew to do, and he was probably even following the call of God on his life. Born in Alexandria, but now he's in Ephesus, and he's teaching, and he's preaching, and he's diligently doing all that he knows to do. But he only knows the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they approached him publicly and told him he was wrong. They told him that he was not a vessel of God because he didn't know everything he needed to know. I knew it was going to get rough. No, the Bible says they took him unto them. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Today, they ain't going to pray how we pray. They ain't going to say the things that we say. And there may say things that aren't doctrinally correct or sound. Please understand, what we're trying to do is create an opportunity to expound the Word of God more perfectly unto them. They're only doing what they know. They're only doing what they've been taught. They're only operating on the revelation that they have thus far. Please don't be condescending to them. Please don't look down upon them. If you do anything, take them unto yourself and determine to expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Man taught diligently all that he knew. Listen, if you want to be constructive with someone, build upon what they already know. Take the common ground that we have and don't look at them as an enemy. Look at them as somebody who's on our side. They're fighting the good fight of faith, so they don't know it all yet. You don't know it all yet. I don't know it all yet. And I'm still learning. And I'm still growing. And I still have need that one teach me. And you still have need that one teach you. And they still have need that one teach them. But we need to understand, when it comes to good and evil, when it comes to light and dark, when it comes to righteousness and unrighteousness, we're on the same side. So we come to our text. Evidently, they were on a journey to Capernaum, and once they got in the house, Jesus asked them, hey, what were you guys arguing about in the way? Now, think about this. Some of these men had seen Jesus operate in the Spirit. Some of them had seen him tell others things that were not revealed to anybody else. And so the Bible says they held their peace. Think of how futile that was. Well, I'm not going to tell him and he won't know. What Jesus says, you're not going to tell me, but this is what you were arguing about. Let me show you what you were arguing about. You were disputing over who was the greatest in the kingdom. You were arguing as to who's better than who. You were practicing that stuff that Brother Boland talked about last night. You know, a moral equivalence, trying to find it. Who, I'm better than you, you're better than me. See, that's what you were doing. You were disputing among yourselves, trying to figure out who's the greatest in the kingdom. Let me show you, fellas. And so he brings a little child. First he says, hey, last shall be first, and first shall be last. Whoever's going to be Lord of all is going to be servant of all. He brings a child in and says, listen, this is what you need to emulate. It's the kind of humility you need to have if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. This is what you need to. And here in the midst of this, now, I haven't figured it out yet. It's either one of two ways. Either at the teaching of Jesus and the understanding of what Jesus is saying, John feels convicted about what he's done. And I almost think it is that way. Because like Joshua, the son of Nun, was one of the right-hand men or the right-hand man of Moses, if you will, John was one of those right-hand men of Jesus. And so you have similar scenarios that are playing out here. That what happened in Numbers 11 is now happening in Mark chapter 9. Jesus gives them this teaching about humility. So John says, Lord, and I believe the way that he starts it out is indicative of what he was feeling. I believe at this point in time, John's starting to question what he did. Master, let me tell you something. There's a guy we saw casting out spirits in your name. Stop. Now, this is just me paraphrasing. I think this John saying, I wonder if I did right. He wasn't with us, Lord. He didn't follow after us. And because he didn't follow after us, because he wasn't with us, I didn't think that's something he should be doing. So I forbade it. I stopped. And now that you're teaching me this, I'm questioning whether what I did was right. I'm questioning whether I should have stopped him or whether I should have let him continue. And there's a part of me that wants to protect you and your image, Jesus. Joshua steps up and says, Moses, forbid him. You called him to come to the tabernacle, and they're in the camp, and they're prophesying. Moses looks at Joshua and says, hey, envious thou for my sake? Think it's going to somehow ruin my reputation that they're out there in the camp prophesying? Think it's going to have some kind of effect upon me? Because here's the thing. It's going to be one of two motives. Either you're jealous that that's what they're doing. God's not using you like that. Or you're trying to protect the image. Joshua's standing up trying to protect the image of Moses, saying, Moses, you got to quell that. You got to stop that right now. John's saying, Jesus, they're casting out devils in your name. Look it. That's what he says. They're casting out devils in your name. Jesus says, wait a second. Bid them not. Don't stop them. Moses says, hey, Joshua, you got it wrong, bud. I would to God that all men, that all God's people, his spirit would rest upon them. Listen, I may not be your favorite pastor after this message this morning. I realize, I get it. I understand people are going to gravitate to places that suit their fancy and that tickle their ears and try to get. And I realize people are going to be sold short. I get that. I realize. I do believe that the experience that we have in the Pentecostal apostolic experience is second to none. I believe that with all my heart. But don't think for one moment that people aren't going to other churches and other places and feeling the presence of God. Because they are. I've been in those places. I've been in arenas and other atmospheres, environments. They didn't have it all right. They had some things right. And I could feel it, and it would resonate with my spirit. And listen, this is all I'm simply trying to say as your pastor. This is what I'm trying to get us to understand, is that there are those out there that we have to stop looking at as enemies. They're not. They may not know everything we know. They may not have everything that we have. Yes, there's some of them that are being sold short as to what God truly has for them. But if they hunger and they thirst. You were here Wednesday night. You heard Brother Anderson as he talked about what's happening in Brazil. As denominational pastors are coming to them and trying to find out. They've been studying and reading for themselves. Let me ask you this. If you're condescending to them and you defame them for what they already believe, do you really think they're going to come to your door when they have the question? Do you really think when they're entertaining possibility of maybe they don't understand it all and they don't know it all, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to go to someone who threw open their arms and said, hey, you're on our side. We're going to fight with you. We're going to believe with you. We're going to pray with you. Closing, you can stand to your feet. I readily recognize there are differences. But we need to start seeing them as allies instead of as enemies. For he that is not against us is on our part. People in other walks of faith that have testimonies of God's deliverance. Do. Direct evidence that God is working in their lives. Jesus said, listen, no man can do miracles in my name and speak lightly of me. He's not just doing that unless it's allowed. Here's what I feel. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that God is using that we would never use. They're on our side. Maybe us throwing open our arms and saying, hey, I'm not in any way, shape, or form going to condescend to you. We're going to build upon what you already know. We're going to love you, and we're going to recognize that we're allies. We don't fly the same flag. We don't speak the same languages. We don't have the same creeds. Oh, my goodness. But I think you're interested in stopping the forces of evil, just like I'm interested in stopping the forces of evil. I think you're interested. There's some common ground. I think you're interested in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shining forth. I believe you're interested in loving. I believe you're interested in serving. I believe you're interested. So instead of focusing upon the areas where we disagree, let's focus on our areas of agreement. Come alongside and say, hey, let's fight this good fight together. I've threatened for many years that I might do it to preach a sermon, what we could learn from them, because there's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot they can learn from us. Trust me, I get it. There's a lot of other things we can learn from them. together, stand against the enemy. Every general in war will tell you one of the easiest ways to conquer a foe is to divide them. Divide and conquer. So make no mistake, it is the art of war of the enemy to keep us seeing one another as enemies instead of allies. I know, I get it. I recognize we are baptized in His name, and in that name we have affiliation and we call each other brother and sister. I get that. But they're my brother in arms and they're my sister in arms, and if they're truly interested in fighting a good fight of faith, and there's some of them out there that have great hearts and they're operating in everything that they know, and they're truly seeking and they're truly wanting to make a difference, and they're truly loving people, and let us see them as allies that are on our side. And let's bring them in and expound the way of God more perfectly. All over this house, and you lift your hand, lift your voice. Lord, help me, help my heart to be right. We might not be able to agree on doctrine, what we believe is essential to salvation may be different. I get it. But I believe there are some true believers among other denominations who are searching, who are looking, who are wanting, who are desiring, who are wanting to fight a good fight of faith. They don't want to see any more families destroyed. They don't want addiction to reign in their loved ones. They truly want God's deliverance. And let us be those who would come alongside them. And let's extend the right hand of fellowship and say, hey, come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's pray together. Let's bind together. Let's unite our forces as allies against the enemy to see the works of the devil go back. These altars are open. Can you find a place to pray? Lord, help me today. God, help me in this opportunity that we have this afternoon. We are, in every sense of the word, taking it to the streets, but there will be others out there on the street with us who don't believe everything we believe, who don't know everything we know, who don't understand all that we do and don't have the revelation that we do, God, but they are on our side.
Louder songs from every nation rising to your throne.
Let me bind with them.
From every generation.
I don't want to focus on what may be different between us. I want us to ally together, to link arms, to join forces, to pray against evil.
North and south, we are crying out. There is hope in Jesus' name. You're amazing, God. You're amazing, God. You can bear the weight of every heavy heart. You can heal the pain. You can clean the stains. You can turn our tears into songs of praise. You're amazing. sorrow turns to gladness when our God is near. You speak light into our darkness. You heal the broken heart and wipe away our tears. From the north and south, we are crying out. There is hope in Jesus' name. You're amazing, God. You're amazing, God. You can bear the weight of every heavy heart. You can heal the pain. You can clean the stains. You can turn our tears into songs of praise. You're amazing, God. Songs of praise around us. Songs of praise around us. Hear it growing louder. Hear it growing louder. Songs of praise around us. Songs of praise around us.
Some years ago now, but I was invited to a prayer meeting of surrounding pastors. Maybe a year or so after we came to Sandwich, we all met, had kind of a round table discussion about our community. At the end, the guy who had organized and put it together asked if we would go down around the room and each one of us would offer a word of prayer. Happened to be close to the end, and so it made its way around, and obviously people of pastors from other denominations, other faiths prayed. It came to me, and I don't pray like they pray. I'm not being demeaning to them. It wasn't monotone or repetitive. It was pray like I pray right here. So I began to pray, and as I began to pray, it wasn't because I was speaking. It wasn't my eloquent prayer process. It was the Spirit. When I began to pray, all of a sudden, amen. Started coming. Hallelujah. People started breaking. Their voice was breaking, and they were acknowledging. Listen, what we need to understand is what was happening was something in the Spirit. Something inside of them was resonating with something that was coming forth from me. It wasn't about me.
Right.
Listen, if we can't find common ground and we can't understand that we're on this thing together, we're in this thing together, then I tell you what we need to do. We need to stop singing their songs.
Right.
We need to stop reading their books. We need to even take the old hymnal, and there's about 5 hymns we can select from there that were written by Oneness Pentecostals.
Right.
The rest of them you better throw out. God, stop preaching and start meddling now.
They're on our side, folks. They're not all the way over yet. They don't have everything that we have, but they're fighting like we're fighting, and they're struggling like we're struggling. They want to see God do a work like we want to see God do a work. So let's pray together, and let's believe together, and let God open doors.
Right.
One more time. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Oh, Lord.
God, let your will be done.
We have such an opportunity in the Spirit. We thank you in advance for those that are going to come, those that have a desire to see a difference in our community, God. Let us hang on to that, Lord. Let that be the great common denominator that exists among us, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
To believe.
Thank you.
For those that are not against us are on our part. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your word. I ask all these things in your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask it.
They just told me that they have taken Sister Connie to the ER, so let's bind together right now and pray for her. Jesus, a faithful saint of God. Oh, we come before you on her behalf, God. Oh, you're able to work right now, God. Minister to her right now, God. Oh. Help us, God. Reach her, God. Help her, God. Strengthen her body right now, God. Let a healing touch have for her right now. In Jesus' name we ask. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, Jesus. Jesus, in your precious name, Jesus, in your precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God, thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in Jesus' precious name.